You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the League podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm joined by two heroes. On my right, Chris Wessling, and on my center area, Mark Sessler.
How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. How are you, Wes?
Couldn't be better.
Wes back in the studio. We called down to him. It was kind of depressing doing the phone call down, but now he's back in the big chair. It feels good, doesn't it, Wes?
It's been a long time coming. It's been 3 weeks now.
Yes. We have to do a couple bits of housekeeping just to get going. Number one, Mark Sessler, tell us about iTunes.
iTunes. So after a long odyssey in the abyss, where we floated essentially nowhere on the internet, and we had, you know, it was nice to finally realize that there are some people out there that actually faithfully listen to the show.
Yes.
And were pinging us individually on Twitter. Guys, help me out here. You're from the NFL. You should easily have a show. How do I find it? We had no answers, but we do now. We have an iTunes page built around the show, an RSS feed clicked in. Wilk, what's the, do we give them the address? We just how do we get them?
How do you access it?
I think the
it?
Easiest yeah. way is nfl.com/podcast. We're right on there at the bottom of that page, since we're the most recent ones to get put at the bottom.
Right.
And there's a nice subscribe button on there. You can subscribe through iTunes or any number of other podcast listening devices.
Excellent. That is great news. Yeah, there was a time where the previous iteration of this podcast, the ATL Debate Club, can only be found on Netscape if you plugged in with a modem.
Right.
And then, like, you know, wished really hard. It would somehow pop up in your, like, AOL mailbox. But now you have many options, so that's great. Also, on Monday, we spoke about the first subscriber on iTunes to the ATL podcast would get a 2007 Tennessee Titans media guide with Vince Young on the cover, and also a Mylar balloon for the Houston Texans. That winner is Scott Prezbolinski. I apologize if it's mispronounced there, but you are the winner. You are the first to subscribe, and we don't have that Texans Mylar balloon, but Wes is going to volunteer and give up one of his Cincinnati Bengals Mylar balloons that were given away in a swag giveaway at the newsroom.
Does the average person know what a Mylar balloon is?
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but listen, that's what's coming. So, Scott, if you are listening, and this will be a good test if you're actually a fan, hit me up on Twitter, and we will get to you your prize. All right, coming up today. First of all, Greg Rosenthal, our boss, is in Canton at the Hall of Fame. We will talk to him on Friday for the podcast. But coming up today, we have Pro Bowl. There was a big announcement, serious changes there. We're going to talk some Percy Harvin, who obviously is under the knife for this hip surgery. He's going to be out potentially until Thanksgiving. But I think where we want to start is the biggest news of today. Riley Cooper, the Eagles wide receiver, who we just spoke about on Monday as a guy that was potentially going to have to make the leap now that Jeremy Maclin has done. He said some pretty stupid things, Wes.
He did say some stupid things. I feel like if we talk about that, there's going to be a hook coming out of the wall to kind of take me out of my chair if we talk about race in America. It can't be done. There are people who make a living being offended, so we have to be careful what we say.
Well, I mean, listen, Cooper, what he did was legitimately offensive. He apparently was at a Kenny Chesney concert, which is offensive to start with, and he made a racial slur towards a African-American security guard. Of course it's caught on camera, and of course it surfaces quickly. He was fined by the team. All the statements came out, deriding him, and he came out now.
Well, the Eagles in general, and I agree with Greg's assessment on Saturday, the Eagles have a deep skill position group at wide receiver. Yes, they do, but nobody's mistaking Riley Cooper for, the next fantastic possession receiver, a guy who's going to burn you down the edge. He's an average receiver at best, and he's put himself in a bad position because he's certainly no one that general population's rooting for when they're watching an Eagles game at this point. Although we forget about things in, 12 days?
Yeah, well, this one is going to be a little tougher to forget about, I would think, for his teammates, who, many of them are African-American. Apparently, right before we came upstairs to do the podcast, we had gotten some word that, some teammates are now speaking out saying that he did address the team and they're willing to move forward from it. But it's going to be a tough spot, and I also think it's something to keep an eye out is Chip Kelly here. This has been a tough few days for the new coach who is dealing with the Maclin and the restructuring that goes with that after Jeremy Maclin blew out the ACL, and now he has to, he's dealing with some internal strife in the locker room. That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Maclin as being Chip Kelly's first sort of big test. And, welcome to the NFL, because I think every one of these coaches, it's like we're so new into the season that whoever gets hit with the big injury or the big issue inside the locker room, it's like, uh-oh, tough for Doug Marrone or tough for Chip Kelly to deal with situation A or B. Kelly's going to deal with this, week to week in Philadelphia.
Right, and it'll be interesting to check out Twitter in the next day or so because, yes, I do think the story will go away pretty quickly, but right now it's what everyone wants to talk about. Marcus Vick, who I call the Frank Stallone of the NFL, Mike Vick's brother. He came out and put like a really meager amount of money as a bounty on
$1,000, I believe it was.
Literally, when an NFL player sneezes, $1,000 comes out of his nose. So I don't think, A, the money's going to entice him, and B, anybody would take him up on the offer anyway. So you have that type of idiocy floating around. Just kind of like a stupid, ugly thing that would be best that we all kind of move past. So we're going to move past it on the ATL podcast.
Very good.
Transition. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl. Wes, you wrote, I did the news piece that gave kind of more of the straightforward stuff that what's going down. They're eliminating AFC versus NFC, which is kind of insane to me as someone who grew up watching the game, maybe not enjoying it that much, but watching it, and a bunch of other rules. Wes, you wrote an opinion piece on it. What are your thoughts about this game?
The switches do not address the problem, which is fans are tired of watching a game where players are making quote-unquote business decisions, deciding not to play hard, not to tackle, not to block as hard. I thought our buddy Dave Damashek had a very good idea. Ditch the Pro Bowl altogether and go with the Loser Bowl, the two teams with the worst records, square off in the week between the week before the Super Bowl, and the team that wins the game gets the number one overall draft pick.
I mean, that's high stakes.
Let's put something on the line here.
Well, who wouldn't watch that?
And a lot of Damashek's ideas are actually secret, like sneaky brilliant. And then if he hears this, he'll come down to the newsroom a couple days from now like, oh, why has it got to be sneaky brilliant? It can't just be brilliant. But it really is, because that's a game that would have real stakes, whereas the built-in issue with this Pro Bowl, you could do whatever you want, and Goodell is trying this. You can almost call it a Hail Mary to try to fix this game and make it relevant. But ultimately, it's kind of putting lipstick on a pig, and it's hard to fix a game where the stakes aren't high, guys aren't going to go all out, and on top of it, it's after the Super Bowl, so it's like nobody cares.
Well, that's a big mistake right there. I think they're trying to speed the game up. I don't think that the agents or the league's best kick returners are going to be excited about the fact that they've been removed from the equation. But the issue I have that I think was a Pete Prisco that brought up initially, what happens when you've got Chandler Jones making his first Pro Bowl this season, Dan's making the leap candidate,
oh, yeah,
squaring off on the team across from Tom Brady about to light up his quarterback. Is he going to go full force? Is he going to even go for that hit? There's a lot of conflict.
It's not going to happen because Tom will be in Argentina with Giselle chilling out.
Fair. Well, you've solved the entire
coconut
issue.
Drink. Yeah. So, you know.
I'll let Prisco know.
But let's say, yeah, like you're saying, like how does a hard-charging defender go after his own player, whether it's a running back or a quarterback or a wide receiver? It smacks of farce. But at the same time, I'm not going to kill the NFL. And I know a lot of people on Twitter, the first instinct was to rip it. Let's face it. Like, people weren't happy with how the game was. So, why not just shake it up and see if you can do something? Even if it's a short-term solution, at least you're trying something.
Yeah, I give them points for creativity, but I haven't watched the Pro Bowl in years, and I doubt I'll watch it again unless I'm covering it.
Well, and it's exactly. The gist of it is we're not excited about this game, and they've tried to refashion it. I don't think that if it's a complete dud again with these minor tweaks, that this is going to be the way it is for 15 years. This is a one-time look-see, and if they need to make more drastic changes, I mean, Goodell's talked openly about just canceling the thing.
Right. Well,
I don't think that's out of the equation if it fails again.
Well, give the NFL credit where it's due. Out of all the leagues, professional sports leagues, the NFL is not afraid to make changes to make the game better.
That's,
so you're right.
That's
if
fair.
It doesn't work, something else will be tried.
Someone is patting us on our head right now as we praise our employers.
It's a large, shadowy league figure, 7'7". If you look at other leagues, Major League Baseball, I think it was about 10 years ago now, they started to get some heat about their All-Star game. And what they did, they reacted by deciding whoever wins the game, American League versus National League, gets home field advantage in the World Series. And that was also, laughed at and ridiculed by a lot of baseball fans. So it's almost like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't know. I can't get on the league about this, but at the same time, I'm not sure it's going to ultimately be good. All right, the other big news from yesterday, and this is probably the biggest news of the week, Percy Harvin flew to New York to get the second opinion on his hip. Turns out he's going to need surgery, and the surgery will take place on Thursday. They're saying 3 to 4 months. We're hearing maybe Thanksgiving is the time he comes back. Seattle Seahawks, obviously, he was potentially the final piece and them being an NFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl. Wes, what do you think this means for the Seahawks? Are they in big trouble now?
I think you put it well when you said final piece. We're talking about a team that was very good last year, especially down the stretch where they averaged 32 points a game over the last 10 games. They don't need him to go to the playoffs, but my sense when they made the trade was Percy Harvin is good enough, was an MVP candidate before he tore his ankle up last year. He's good enough that he changes them from an also-ran to a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So if he's healthy by Christmas, ideally by Thanksgiving, which I'm very skeptical of that happening, but if he's healthy by Christmas and gives them a shot in the arm, maybe they're still Super Bowl contenders. But it's sky isn't falling, but it's a significant blow.
I thought you made a good point too, Wes, on Twitter when you said that the last 10 games of the season, 10 or 11 games, they were averaging over 32 points a game. Last season, this is without Harvin. They're bringing back a lot of the same team. It's almost the same offense, essentially. You know, as long as Sidney Rice doesn't come back from his jaunt to Switzerland with, no legs or something, I mean, everything should be fine. I think they're going to be still a good offense. Harvin was maybe the guy that was going to make them almost an unstoppable type offense if everybody else stayed healthy and progressed.
Well, I would caution the idea of, because I know Wes wasn't pointing this out initially, but they went on a torrid pace down the stretch. They're just going to open that way. Teams have spent the offseason studying Seattle. I think that Seattle put a ton of time reshaping their playbook to include Harvin. What I do like, though, when the timing's kind of cool, is like for Seattle, if Harvin comes back around December, when you've spent the whole season looking at a certain type of Seattle team, then they can use those plays, which they did spend the offseason practicing. You drop Harvin into the equation in December. First of all, it's a hip injury. He may not come back all year. We don't know. But if he does, suddenly Seattle's got this, like, weapon that no one's seen all season, that no one knows how to prepare for right when it matters most. It might work out well for them if he's healthy.
It shouldn't be forgotten also that not only were they the NFL's best defense last year, but they were far and away the run heaviest team in the league. They're still identified with Marshawn Lynch on offense.
You know, and so we talked about they have a bye over that Thanksgiving week, but if he comes back December 1st, they play in order the Saints, the 49ers, the New York Giants, the Cardinals, and the Rams. That's three division games, and that's five within the conference. That right there is, listen, if Harvin is put into that soup, that could be right when I don't think the 49ers in Seattle are going to do this 11-2, 12-1 trip. I think that division's going to beat itself up hard. The records aren't going to be as impressive. Harvin is a difference maker. I don't want to go down the road saying it doesn't matter if he's on the team because they were so good last year. They got him for a reason.
If you guys were in general manager John Schneider's shoes, would you, given the chance, reverse the trade if you could right now?
I said this on Twitter last night that I would still make the trade because Harvin is already locked up for another 5 years. I mean, hip injuries aren't anything to sneeze at, but to me,
I don't think you can sneeze properly with a bad hip injury.
That's a good point.
True story.
My philosophy on NFL and really any sport is you win with difference makers, and I think Percy Harvin is one. I don't think that a late first-round pick is that much to give up for that much.
No, it isn't. I would agree with that. I think that it's a long season, and they're looking long-term with Harvin. They're not a one-year deal here. I think also that Harvin, and Greg put it really well at the end of a post he wrote this morning, that like Percy Harvin problems are never simple. Like, he's always been a complex dude to deal with. He tweeted about his injury. It didn't come from the team. That speaks to some sort of discord, I think, between the two sides. Harvin wanted to protect his body here a little bit. That's my sense. I don't know that for a fact. But, yeah, I would do it again because he's one of the five or six guys that when he's healthy, he puts them at a different level in what they can do with the football.
Yeah, I don't think teams like the player breaking injury news like that. In another sport, in baseball, A-Rod, who's facing his own issues, when he gave his own medical update about a month ago, his general manager, Brian Cashman, told him to shut the F
that
up.
That didn't go well.
So, you know, I don't think the Seahawks know, because they saw what happened in Minnesota, that they have to treat Harvin with kid gloves on some level. And, you know, I was reading a Peter King story yesterday where they said they were more than happy for him to head over to New York to get the second opinion because they want Harvin to feel like he can trust his new team. So, you know, bottom line is he's out of the lineup for a while and they'll probably survive. One other player that's in the news, another high paid player with an injury issue, Mario Williams. Mark, you want to talk a little bit about Mario Williams, because it seems to be with this guy, he signs a 6-year, $96 million deal, and I'm not so sure this is going to end well.
Well, I think he's an enigmatical guy, and I think that he's been enough of a distraction versus the production he's put forth, where you do have to question the amount of money. Talk about, would a GM do it again? The GM that did it isn't with the team anymore,
right?
So I don't think that that's something Buffalo's 100% in. And yeah, I think that Marone is also another guy learning the way of the NFL, where you're going to get asked the questions that you either can't answer or don't have a complete answer to. That's not going to stop 15 guys from saying the same thing over. He got really annoyed yesterday.
And, well, it's funny you say that, because Alex Wilk, behind the glass, a man of integrity and preparation, has that soundbite. Doug Marone speaking with the Buffalo press yesterday.
Frustrated, honestly, when it gets to a point where I feel like I've tried to explain myself and how I handle the injuries, okay, and I've answered the questions, and you keep coming at me, all right? Put yourself in my position. I don't know. If I asked you what play, call our play in our system on third down, okay, what play would you call right now?
That's not my job.
Do you know the play?
I really couldn't tell you because I've not seen your playbook.
Right, okay. I haven't talked to the doctor. I have seen the playbook. I'm done. I'm not answering any more questions about Mario Williams until the doctor gives me this. Obviously, if we send him to get evaluations, he's excused from the team. That's not a legitimate question.
I don't think that's going to go down to, you know, Dennis Green. You know, we were the best damn team. What was the Dennis Green quote famously?
They are who we thought they were.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in that category, but it was interesting to see him, especially this early in the game, his first year as an NFL coach, to kind of get a little tense with the media.
I thought he was being honest, though. A couple of people initially, like, oh, he's melted. He's lost control.
That was overblown.
I think that Marone, number one, he's a brass tacks guy. He's an upstate New York dude. The guy is just like, Stop throwing this nonsense at me. I've given you what I can give you. Let's move on.
Don't you think in a lot of ways we've been conditioned as the media and as any league observer to expect all coaches to be deadpan like Bill Belichick?
Yes.
We're conditioned that that's how a coach is supposed to act now. And if we get someone colorful, if we get someone interesting, we think they're melting down.
And that's why it stood out. I don't think anyone was expecting it from Doug Marrone, of all people, because he has been rather
stoic.
Because
who's Doug Marrone?
Exactly. But he's on my radar.
Yeah, my two takeaways. Number one, the part that we didn't play, as he goes, you know, I'm a straight shooter. Ask anybody that knows me since I'm a kid. I'm a straight shooter. Actually reminded me something that my dad would say. I mean, he was just keeping it real. I think what maybe jumps out at you, it was a little Parcellsian a little bit, kind of taking on a media member like that. And if you're Bill Parcells and you do it, it's like, it's great. It's awesome. That's classic Parcells. But when Doug Marrone does it, nobody really knows who this guy is. People are conditioned to be like, who's this guy? You know, is he all right? Is he about to, you know, break down? But back to Williams, I mean, it seems like behind the scenes, there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between Mario Williams and the Bills. You know, there were the reports that he got that wrist surgery last year without the team's knowledge. He has this crazy engagement ring story that doesn't paint him or the team in a good light. Now he has a foot injury where the coach is getting testy about it. Is this a relationship built to last?
I mean, I think whenever you have a coach, I feel for the coaches that come in out of nowhere and adopt these big contract guys or head cases or a combination of the both, which I don't think Williams was necessarily earlier in his career, but in Buffalo, something's gone on. He's definitely not been who they wanted him to be. I think if Marrone could reshape the team, Williams would have nothing to do with this. Neither would his contract, of course.
Right.
How many NFL relationships are built to last unless they involve a quarterback?
That's really true. Because most quarterbacks get their coaches fired, to be honest.
Right.
And Williams, you know, he's another guy that went out and sort of went rogue on his medical stuff, which, again, it's their bodies. I don't know who knows exactly how that happened, but it seemed like the Bills didn't like losing control of that situation.
And, you know, the final topic today, I was almost a little sheepish about bringing this up because, you know, my New York Jets, it took a beating on Monday's podcast, but people are very excited in this room. Mark and Wes is actually foaming at the mouth right now to talk about Rex Ryan, who during his press conference today said that the Wildcat is not dead. The Jets are going to use more Wildcat in 2013. Yes, I did not say 2008. I said 2013. Wes, who has just had such strong opinionated thoughts on the matter that he ended up landing on Deadspin with a tweet that I will read right now. Wildcat, the rest of the league is playing chess, and Rex is over in the corner with his Lincoln Logs. Just devastating. Wes, go ahead. You have the floor. Destroy my team.
Look, I would never question Rex Ryan's knowledge about defense. He might be the best defensive mind in the NFL. But to me, he kind of – this is reminiscent of Lovie Smith's stint with the Bears, where the offense continues to kill the team over and over again because the brass, the coaching staff, the front office, doesn't know anything about offensive football, and they're stuck in the past. And Rex Ryan is talking about the Wildcat. It cracks me up. What's he going to do with the Wildcat? The rest of the league is running the read option and the pistol, and he's stuck on this fluke play from 6 years ago.
I agree. I mean, when I read his
of course you
full
did.
Comments, well, because Wes is correct, by the way, it looks like what he's talking about is the league shifting towards option-type play. Because he talks about mobile players, mobile passers, getting out of the pocket and doing X, Y, and Z. But that didn't happen with the Wildcat at all in New York last year. And not many other teams, you know, outside of Jacksonville right now are even talking about the Wildcat on any level. So it's like he's pointing towards this bigger trend. But I don't want to assume he doesn't know the difference. He must.
He's a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy. So I'm just baffled by
it. He's the smartest guy.
No, but you don't get to this level without being smart, but he's smart on the other side of the ball. I don't think he should speak on this topic.
Well, I would just say this. Did the skinny tie come back? Yes or no? You don't even know the answer to that. That speaks to a lot. Skinny tie came back. It's huge right now. The Wildcat will come back as well. Back in vogue. Wildcat. 2013, New York Jets.
Didn't they say that last year?
Listen, we got to move past last year.
The best example of a Wildcat in a Jets game was when the Niners rolled in with Kaepernick, did a couple Wildcat plays, and thrashed the Jets.
Did you really
like,
not know that the skinny tie was back?
I didn't realize that it left.
Well, is that crazy that Sessler doesn't know that skinny ties are popular again?
I don't think it's that crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
fashion forward? I didn't think so. Well, judging by I wear like the same shirt.
I think
like,
you read one article about the skinny tie coming back, and now you're pretending that this is something you know a lot about.
No, I judge everything on what Adam Rank wears in the newsroom, and Rank has really he's gone all in on the skinny tie. I stand by this, and I would love Twitter users to back me on this that the skinny tie is back.
I mean, I like a nice skinny tie. I'm just saying.
How come
does that include the bolo?
Dan, you've taken us to a very dark and strange place.
In the last 5 minutes, I'm just on an island, whether it's about Rex or the skinny tie. I mean, why have I been cast out of this podcast?
Look at the topics you've chosen to defend. The Jets and skinny ties.
You guys are monsters. Well, I will say this, in all seriousness, the Wildcat maybe could have worked if they used Tim Tebow a little better. Tony Sperano was the worst, period. Just the worst on 17 levels. And every time Tebow won in the game, they ran it between the tackles. And, you know, how's it ever going to succeed if you don't balance out the passing with the running? If everyone knows you're going to do a run up the middle every time, of course it's not going to be successful.
So we'll take Geno Smith, who never ran the option, never ran anything close to the Wildcat, and suddenly tell everyone he's going to do it.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay.
Let me have two more things. When you look at the Wildcat, jog your memory from the past half decade, and it all boils down to the one game where Ronnie Brown killed
yes,
the Patriots.
Yes, it does.
And nothing else. No, what else has a Wildcat done except take up newspaper space?
Well, and it needs to be heavily running back based, and who do the Jets have that you can count on at running back right now? You know, it's getting ugly. We've gone down a dark road on Dan's team here.
No, it's okay. I mean, you're right about that, and I'm a little curious. Mark, you brought it up downstairs. When Rex was talking about the Wildcat, did he think he was talking about the read option?
That's what we were suggesting. It's like, I don't want to say that because I'm sure that he would never even feel that was the case, but he was talking to a larger trend that isn't happening in the Jets and it's not happening in the Wildcat specifically.
I get that. I think you might be onto something there. Maybe he's talking more about option plays generically and lumping the Wildcat in with that.
Right.
But just the fact that he's using that word and no one else in the league is.
That's the issue.
Hey, my team.
Read a football magazine.
Well, to me, he's like the Don Coryell was kept out of the Hall of Fame and never won a Super Bowl because he didn't bother to get to know the defensive side of the ball. And he's the new Don Coryell, except on the defensive side of the ball.
That's interesting. Not unlike his father.
Wilk has glazed over behind the glass.
So much Jets.
There's nothing that Wilk hates more than talking about the Jets. We have talked about them Monday and now Wednesday. So we'll move on. Wilk, you literally look despondent. You almost look
ashen.
The Jets just make me so crazy because I don't. They're like the Cowboys.
Yeah,
he had the same look on his
face.
This
team is like 7-9 at best every year. Why are we talking about them like they're one of the premier teams in the league?
You're preaching to the choir, and you have the same look on your face as you did after the Vegemite incident.
I do. Yeah.
You know what's
similar taste in my mouth too.
And you know, Wilk is wearing a Chicago Bears polo. That's a team that's flying under the radar. Wilk, do you have any thoughts about the Bears? Nobody's talking about the Bears.
Mark Trestman keeps bringing up doing read option and things like that with Jay Cutler, and I will defend Jay Cutler's mobility to an extent, but that still scares me, especially
because... Can you imagine how many defensive players are just ready to light up Jay Cutler?
We've seen how poorly the Bears do when Jay Cutler is not in that lineup.
Yeah, but Trestman's not about to engage the team on something idiotic for 16 straight games. He's a good coach.
I hope that you're right. I hope that you're right. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Trestman kind of gives me the creeps a little bit.
Guys, I got to go. I got to go home.
You got to go?
I got to go home.
Why?
It's time for me to go home.
All right.
He doesn't like talking about the Bears is the issue.
Oh, yeah. I see.
That's the issue.
All right. Well, Mark's got to go. He's got to get home to his young family who love him. We will be back Friday. I think it will be Mark and I solo. It will be like a throwback to the old Debate Club days. We will talk with Greg Rosenthal from Canton, so get excited about that. Mark's going to ask some hard-hitting questions for our boss, I hear.
Well, I was there last year. I know the territory, and I want to make sure that Greg's covering all the bases. I'm sure he is.
Good, and we're going to try to have another guest too, but we won't know for another day or so. So check back in Friday, subscribe on iTunes, and thank you for listening. Until then.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.